The parable of the persistent widow. Perhaps it is because I usually find myself surrounded by children, but my first thought upon reading the scripture for today was that of the persistent nagging of a child who really wants something they shouldn't have, and then the reluctant giving in of an adult who just wants a little peace. But this story, this parable, isn't about a nagging child and a well-meaning but tired adult. Rather, this parable, Luke tells us, is about the need to pray always and not lose heart. The characters in our story are a widow and a judge. The widow is the disadvantaged character. Without a husband to provide for her and unable to inherit property, she is poor, vulnerable, and dependent on others. The judge is a symbol of power with the ability to settle disputes and restore justice. But this judge has no respect for people and does not fear God. In our story, the widow repeatedly comes to the judge demanding justice for herself. And in the end, the unjust judge finally grants her justice, from a place of irritation rather than goodness. As we look at this passage from the Gospel of Luke, it's important for us to consider where it falls in the book as well as a little bit of context. So this text was written a couple of generations after Jesus' death. Both in the preceding chapter as well as later in chapter 18, we see texts about the promise of the kingdom of God. 7 verses after our parable for today is the story of Jesus welcoming and blessing the children and proclaiming that God's kingdom belongs to them. Luke's audience would have been a people who were being oppressed by the Roman government, who were trying to figure out how to live out Christ's work and teachings in the world after his death. These people were persecuted and were likely praying for the kingdom of God to arrive on earth and deliver them from pain and suffering. The text was written to a vulnerable and disadvantaged people that had been beaten down by the powers that be for generations with no end in sight. Today is Children's Sabbath. And as you heard earlier, we gather to celebrate the children in our midst, but also to recognize that the hardships that children face. This year, we're calling specific attention to childhood poverty and the consequential effects. Earlier in the service, we heard statistics that remind us that 18% of our nation's children live in poverty. 18%. In a country of affluence and influence, this is unacceptable. I want you to picture these children in your head. These are children living hard and complicated lives. Children who know too well the feeling of an empty stomach and uncertainty as to where their next meal will be coming from. Children who are homeless or at risk for homelessness, children who lack proper supervision and guidance and thus end up in the criminal justice system, children who are abused and neglected, children whose parents aren't able to care for them, or they have parents who, despite working multiple jobs, aren't able to provide for their basic needs. These are children who aren't in school, who struggle with basic skills like reading. Children who are more likely to be injured and die in accidents because they tend to live in homes without working smoke detectors, with more open flames, with unsafe stairs and unsafe windows. These are children with physical and mental health issues, but no resources to receive treatment. And when we talk about poverty, it's important to know that the effects of poverty are long-reaching and go beyond a meal today or clothes for tomorrow. Any time spent in poverty as a child means that you are significantly more likely to experience poverty as an adult. Children living in poverty face long-term educational setbacks. They are less likely to graduate from high school, even less likely to attend college. They suffer long-term effects on their physical, mental, and emotional health. They are more likely to develop obesity and asthma. The stress that children in poverty face and experience is toxic, and it has permanent effects on their brain structure and growth. And this impacts their ability to learn, their ability to solve problems, and control impulses. Imagine how much that impacts their ability to hold a job, to have stable relationships, or be good parents as adults. Childhood poverty is an epidemic of critical proportions, and children suffer the effects for the rest of their lives. But these are not just some children on a poster or in a faraway place. These are children in our community and in communities like ours across the country. Today, I remind you that each and every one of these is a child of God. But these children of God are vulnerable. They are dependent on people who don't have the resources to take care of them. They are taken advantage of because they are young. These are children for whom the systems that are put into place to protect them often fail them. 1 in 5 children in our country, this is their reality, day in and day out. In a country of affluence and influence, this is unacceptable. These children are victims of our broken world. And where are we? What are we supposed to do? These numbers are big, the problems are complex. Let me read verse 1 of our scripture again. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. Prayer is a time that we spend in communion with God. We offer prayer in the still quiet of our lives, and we ask God to move through us to relieve children of poverty. We pray out loud in worship and with our families for the suffering of children to be lifted. We pray with our hands as we write letters to legislators, pleading for them to support the most vulnerable in our midst. We pray with our hands as we sort food and stock shelves at the food pantry. We pray with our feet as we march and stand in protest of systems that are unjust and further suppress the disadvantaged. We pray with our minds as we educate ourselves and vote for leadership that we think will make a difference to the many in our country who are hurting. We pray with our bodies as we pack meals to feed hungry children all over the world. And we aren't the only ones. There are others that are helping too. Teachers who stock their desks with snacks and socks and toothpaste, and social workers who spend unpaid hours devoted to caring for the discarded children of our world. We hear about Champale Anderson, a mom of 6 in St. Louis, who packs 100 sack lunches every day for the children in her neighborhood. Meals that these kids pick up from a table in front of her house when they get off the school bus at the end of the day, because otherwise there would be nothing for them to eat until they went back to school the next day. We hear about Dustin Wright, a man who was distressed when he heard that high school students in his town were being made to put back their school lunches because their lunch accounts were empty or overdrawn. He set up a fundraiser, eventually collecting more than $8,000 for the lunch accounts at the local schools so that kids could eat and not have to worry about where their meal would come from. We hear about Lucy and Selena, who set up houses into homes here in Iowa City after being disheartened, hearing about the number of children in our very own community who sleep on the floor because their families cannot afford beds. In 18 months, Houses into Homes has helped furnish homes for more than 400 children in our community, giving them a comfortable place to eat and sleep and live at no cost to their family. Last week, Pastor Jill reminded us about the importance of stewardship, reminding us how we are called into partnership with God to care for one another. How we are not just called, but we are responsible as individuals and as a church community to care for the young and old, the weak and the sick, the victims of discrimination and justice and injustice. We are charged with caring for the widows and children of our world, the least among us. And we are responsible to share the abundance that we have, not just because it's the nice thing to do, but also because we hear over and over in Scripture how we are called to share what we have. 1 John chapter 3, but if anyone, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, whoever has food is to do likewise. That was Luke chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And Hebrews, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. As stewards of this earth and all the people in it, we do what we can to care for each other and to share what we have. We collect a pile of winter coats and boots for the children in our community who would otherwise spend winter months cold and unprotected from bitter temperatures. We collect peanut butter and macaroni and other kid-friendly foods to stock the local food pantries during the summer months when poverty can be felt more deeply. Today, we collected tableware for small children to help families who aren't able to afford such necessities. We do diaper drives. We partner with Habitat for Humanity. This summer, we collected more than $800, which bought two families a washing machine for their homes. We do our best to meet the needs of the people who come to us asking for help. We volunteer at local schools, reading with children who need extra help, or interpreting so that parents and teachers can partner together in education. Like the widow in our parable, we persist. We share what we can of our time, our money, our talents, and our other resources over and over and over. Because as long as there are still people who have too much and others with not enough, our work is not done. It's not easy to keep up the good fight. We will become discouraged. There will be times when that hour spent at the food pantry or the monetary donation, the hot meal served, or the hours spent in protest, it feels like they haven't made any difference. Times when our contribution feels like one tiny drop in a big giant bucket. We are called to end child poverty, but there will be times when the problem seems too massive and we are tempted to look the other way. Times when we may give up hope. Maybe we have something in common with the people Luke was writing to. At times, do we grow weary of demanding justice and waiting for things to change? Jesus told them a story about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Children's Sabbath is not just about awareness. It is about action. and our work is not done. We must persist, so we commit to doing one good thing every day. We pray consistently with our minds, our hearts, our hands, our feet. We pray with our voices as we stand up for and empower those who are oppressed. We care for those who have less. We share our gifts and our abundance. But this is not a journey we make on our own. Rather, we bind ourselves together to be forces of healing in our hurting world. And we can rest in the comfort of our loving and generous God, who walks with us each and every step of the way. Care for each other. Persist in prayer. Share abundantly. And do not lose hope. Amen.